series we are teaching on Wednesday nights. I'm calling it The Ways of the Spirit. I haven't forgotten. I've been out here a couple of Wednesdays. But, you know, the Spirit of God is in this place to do some great and mighty things. We have covered a few things. We haven't got to all the scriptures. I want you to open up to Acts. Did I tell you where to go? Let's go to Acts chapter 13, verse 2 again. And I want you to, those that are taking notes, I'm going to give you some things to write down here in just a minute. But one of the things that you find out after you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, how many know those are two separate and distinct experiences? There is the salvation of one's heart and one giving their life to God. But there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God will give you a prayer language. We call that tongues. Now, we have to clarify some things because the gift of tongues is not the same as the tongues that God gives us when we are baptized, or we speak in those tongues when we are baptized in the Holy Ghost. I think most of you understand that. And we have to also, here's something that you may not quite comprehend just yet, but you will. Most of us know that Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with our Lord. But here's something else. The way you develop in God greatly depends on the level of skill that you have with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll hear me say this probably more than once tonight, but there's a skill level that as you grow in that, you will increase in your walk with God. How many of you desire to be more spiritual? Now, sometimes we use that loosely to mean more holier than thou, but that's not what I'm talking about. How many want to be more aware of the presence of God? More, if you will, aware of the Spirit of God and the surrounding that God has and God wants to move and direct our lives into? Because every one of us have a purpose, right? Everyone sitting in this room that has received Jesus into their life has a purpose, and we fit into the plan of God to fulfill our purpose. Once you know what your purpose is in life, then you are set on the course to fulfill that destiny or that purpose that God has for your life. But let me just give you another admonition here, that you will not discover that purpose, much less fulfill that purpose, without the Holy Spirit. The better, or I should say, the more you learn to skill yourself in the Holy Spirit, the more that you will move into that purpose that God has for your life, and you will fulfill that purpose that God has for your life. How many of you are getting what I'm saying when I say skill? Just like, you know, just like somebody that is a professional, you know, maybe a carpenter, he has to become skilled in the tools of his trade, right? If you're a science teacher, you have to become skilled in the things of science. And so if you're a Christian, you have to become skilled in working with the Holy Spirit. Really, really, the life or the success that you have in life will depend upon the skill level that you develop in the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving you some things here, okay, that I want to just, again, set some things down, because you really, really cannot live a Christian life apart or separate from the Holy Spirit. Now, some of these things, some of you know, and some of these things are new to some of you. But remember what the Lord said. He said, you can do nothing without me. How many know what nothing means? If we are going to pursue life, and most of us are pursuing life, but a lot of people just take what life gives them. And let me again caution you that in life you will have what you say. You will have what you say in life, so you better start saying what God says. You better start making sure that you say what the Word of God says, and by saying what God's Word says, it begins to create that path or that level of skill so that the Holy Spirit can get you where you need to end up. How many of you want to end up at the right place? And so, we're talking about the ways of the Spirit. We do not want to be a church in modern times that eliminates the Holy Spirit from our church service. Now, I say that, and I've said this many times, because there are churches that have decided to eliminate the Holy Spirit from their church. I'm talking about charismatic churches. You say, well, how can you be charismatic and eliminate the Holy Spirit? By not yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. I had you go to Acts chapter 13, verse 2 again, because the first thing that we talked about is if we're going to have the Holy Spirit move in our service, and we're going to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Some of you have, some of you haven't, some of you need some developing skill to operate in the Holy Spirit. We'll get into these things, okay? And I'm not going to assume that everybody in here knows everything about the Holy Spirit. You know why I'm not? Because I don't know everything about the Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to say, and I would encourage you never to say, I don't know. You know, sometimes somebody, well, I don't know. You know, you need to stop saying that, because the one living in you knows everything. Instead of saying, I don't know, say, I'll find out. Amen? Because that's really what we have to get a revelation, is that when we develop the skill of the person of the Holy Spirit, then we have access to all of the wisdom. Now listen to me. And all of the knowledge. And all of the creativeness that God, Elohim, the Trinity, will find out the whole fullness of the Godhead dwells in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, wow. Say, wow backwards. Yeah, okay. Some people get the idea that the Holy Spirit only moves in one direction, or He only moves in one or two ways. Now, I've been in, you know, Pentecostal churches, full gospel churches, almost ever since I really got saved. How many know you can get saved and you can really get saved? Amen. See, some people get saved in their mind, but that's not true salvation. Amen. True salvation is when a person gets saved in their heart. Keep that in mind. True salvation goes. There's a lot of people that mentally assent to salvation. And so, you know, when I was first exposed to the Holy Spirit, the church services were very loud. They were very demonstrative. They were very, you know, man, if you didn't sweat and spit, Holy Ghost didn't move in that service.
Amen.
If somebody prophesied, maybe you remember that. If somebody prophesied, they prophesied to the top of their lungs.
Thus saith the Lord.
And you know, and boy, if you sat behind them, or if you were a visitor in that church, you probably, oh my goodness, what am I into here? In other words, if it wouldn't demonstrative, and if it wouldn't to the top of somebody's lung in a tongue or interpretation and the shout and the hollering, then it wouldn't the Holy Spirit. But you see, as we grow in the Spirit of God, we find out that there's more than one way that God moves. And there's more ways than just one or two ways that the Holy Spirit shows up and demonstrates or manifest himself. And so we have to yield ourselves. And as I believe I shared this part with you, is that, yeah, we're in here. We're to learn the ways of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has been moving ever since Genesis 1-2. Right? And he moved, yes, a little different in the old covenant, but we're under the new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. And the Holy Spirit came to give the church of the Lord Jesus Christ power. Say power. And so a powerless church is a church that's not operating in the Holy Ghost. In other words, I'll get into these things and share with the Scripture. Let's read again Acts chapter 13, verse 2. All that I give you was free, by the way. But it's good stuff. Amen? It's good stuff. It says, now they were in the church and at Antioch, and there were certain prophets and teachers, and it goes on through there, and they were just serving. And we find out in chapter or verse 2 that they're ministering to the Lord, and they fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, separate me, or to me, Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. In other words, separate them now unto their assignment. How many know it's better to fulfill your assignment being sent by God rather than going on your own? You go on your own and you are in some dangerous ground. And what's important here, there's several things important. That's why we kind of just go back and read this every time. Because they prayed and they fasted. Now, we've talked a little bit about fasting. Fasting, again, if you're going to develop your skill in the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to be a Christian who learns to pray and fast. Because when you fast, what does it do? It puts something down, like your flesh, but it also allows something else to come up, which allows you to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. It puts you in control of your own body instead of your own body telling you what to do. I mean, you know, your body, your mind tells you when you're hungry, tells you when you got to go to the bathroom, tells you when you're sleepy, tells you when you're in love. It tells you everything.
Amen.
But let me say this. What we have to learn is not to be led by our flesh and not to be led by our mind. I've heard people say, well, God put a conscience in us, and so we just need to be led by our conscience. Well, if your conscience has not been renewed by the Word of God, your conscience is going to get you in trouble. You never will find where you're to be led by your conscience. Amen. We are to be led by the Spirit. Because, again, we can do nothing without the Spirit. So, they fasted, they prayed, but what we have said is that, now this is one way, that what we find out is they created an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to manifest. When there's an atmosphere created, then the Holy Spirit will come on the scene and he will begin to speak. He will begin to confirm. He will begin to convict. He will say things to us from the very throne room of God because he represents God. Are you with me? And so, when we hear the Holy Spirit, because every one of us in here, when we were born, have a call. That call is part of our purpose. Did you know that? Okay, but there's a difference between being separated into that call. There's usually a time, what we call a preparation time, where we're preparing ourselves in the things of God for the work that He has called us into. Do you believe that God has called you into a work for Him?
Amen.
Now, I didn't say He's called every one of us to get here and preach, and we've talked about these things, okay? But every one of us in here have a function. We're part of the body of Christ. And remember, body parts are not interchangeable. You'd look real funny if you exchanged your thumb with your nose. Come on, don't thumb your nose at me. So, you have to skill yourself. Now listen, you have to skill yourself into listening to the Holy Spirit. Say that with me. Say, I have to skill.
I have to develop skill
to listen to the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did here. Now let me give you a couple of quotes, and I'll tell you who said it. If we are to live life and a life of sanity in our modern world, if we wish to be men and women who can live victoriously on earth, we need the two-sided gift God has offered us. Number one, all of the work of the Son of God for us, talking about salvation. And number two, the work of the Spirit of God in us. Now, it's interesting that we often say, this is still part of the quote, is under the influence. You know, have you ever seen somebody under the influence of alcohol? That's what they say, right? Under the influence, okay? And that kind of partially resembles and looks like somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. But we're just drunk on new wine, amen? Now look what it says. We are under the influence instead of doing things with only our strength and our ability. He empowers us instead of doing only what we want to do. Now we are guided by Him. Unfortunately, goes on to say, millions of God's people do not enjoy the unlimited spiritual wealth at their disposal because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You know who said that? You know this quote I'm reading to you? Billy Graham. Now, we think of Billy Graham as that great, you know, football stadium, arena, drawing masses of crowds, Baptists, you know, not Spirit-filled, but yet Billy Graham was Spirit-filled. He was called. He was anointed of God to do what He did. Here's something else he said. And I got a lot, but I'll only read a couple to you at a time. He said, there is nothing that God is that the Holy Spirit is not. Now, this man's got a revelation that it is the Holy Spirit that is needed in his life to fulfill his call and his destiny. And so whenever you read about an attribute of God in your Bible, whenever you read about a characteristic of God in your Bible, it is the work of the Holy Spirit also. The Holy Spirit and God are the same. The Holy Spirit is the part of God that lives in you right now. Are you here? Okay, so let's look. Here's what I want to just share. I don't have a lot of time, but tonight I want to talk to you about the job description. Remember I said I was going to give you the job description of the Holy Spirit? I hadn't forgot what I said. That's why I make a little notes to myself here. And it's not just to make you run and shout and jump and even just to speak in tongues. Now, all those things are great. I mean, I'd rather be in a church service where people are happy.
Amen.
I'd rather be around happy people.
Amen.
Than sad, doom and gloom, depressed, oppressed, suppressed, you know, can't get any victory, joy, you know, down and outers.
Amen.
But we do have to minister to those kind of people.
Amen.
Amen? But just because somebody is down and out and join the down and outer club, we don't have to get down and out lower than them. Amen. To minister to them. Somebody needs to see some joy. Somebody needs to know we all fight the same devil. And somebody needs to know that just because we're living in life and we're facing the opposition, that we don't have to succumb to the devil's power and the devil's influence. That's why we have to be careful who influences us. We have to be careful that all the information that we receive, and we're in an age of information. Even the Bible says that in the last days, knowledge will increase. Do you know you're living in a generation of church age or church goers that have more knowledge than the church had in the 50s and the 60s? I said, did you know that you have more knowledge? If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you have more knowledge than the Christians had when, you know, some of those other great John Wesley and Smith Wigglesworth and all those great apostles and men of faith. You have more knowledge than what they had. Well, if we have more knowledge, why aren't we doing more? I said, why aren't we doing more? Why are we not doing greater works? Didn't Jesus say, the works that I do, you will do also? And not only that, he said, and greater works shall you do, because I'm gone to the Father. I'm sitting down at the right hand of the Father, and I will be seated there until he taps me on the shoulder and says, go get my church. Now, here's what I hear. Well, you know, the church is decreasing. The church just does not, you know, it's not evangelizing. It's become seeker-friendly, and they found out that seeker-friendly doesn't work. And on and on and on. Some churches, I mean, we heard some even this last week, you know, some churches are going through the recession. Some churches are having to cut back on their staff and the things that they do for God. Well, I thank God. I'm tired of hearing the world's viewpoint of recession. Amen? And so, you know, that doesn't hold water to us, because we've got a word from God. Are you listening to me? And so, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. For a glorious church, amen? Not a down and out church, not a defeated church, not a sad, gloomy, oh, barely getting by hand out, you know, gimme, my name's Jimmy. No, God is going to tap Jesus on the shoulder, and he's going to come back, and he's going to take a victorious church without spot and without wrinkle, amen? And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to take the spots and the wrinkles out. So we need him. Say, we need him. We need the Holy Spirit in the church. So as long as it's my watch, I'm talking about as long as Jesus has me here to watch over this local church as your local under-shepherd, we are not taking the Holy Ghost out of our church. When Marvin's here, or Chito, or whoever it may be, they can do what they want to, but as long as I'm here, the Holy Ghost is most welcome. Amen. Are you with me? I said the Holy Ghost is most welcome. Yes. We will never eliminate the Holy Ghost from our service. Now, I've had people, you know, that say, well, you know, Pastor, we brought some visitors, and they liked your preaching, they liked the church, but then you had to go talking in tongues. Well, what do you want me to do? What do you want? It's in me, amen? And it ought to be in you. I'm not ashamed to talk in tongues. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, amen? I can talk in tongues. I can speak in tongues anytime, any place, anywhere I want to. Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about getting somebody's face and... No, you can pray. You listen, you can pray in tongues in the dentist's office. You better. You can pray when somebody's chewing you out. Your boss is on your case. You can pray in the Holy Ghost even under your breath. And all of a sudden he sees the peace of God all over you. And your boss is saying, I'm talking to you, boy. You listen to me. And you say, yes, sir, I've listened. But you're listening to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is saying, revenge is mine. Are you here? So, we are called, boy, I tell you what, we are called to go to a higher level. I'm trying not to get all these messages incorporated with what I got to tell you, but I need to tell you this because it has to do with the Holy Ghost. There was an interview done with Jack Nicholson. How many know who, not Jack Nicholson, what's that famous golfer? Jack Nicholson. Nicholson's that. They were interviewing him about Tiger Woods. And they asked him, he said, what do you think about the play of Tiger Woods? And Jack Nicholson said, well, he said, I can't explain it. I can't tell you because he's playing on another level that I'm not familiar with. And all of a sudden, this guy, a spiritual coach, his name is Chip Brim. He's the son of Billy Brim, who was Kenneth Hagin's right-hand man, okay? She did all of his secretarial work, all of his book, traveled with him everywhere. And that's all she does is travel all over the world right now, you know, really teaching and preaching his books. But listen to me. He said that something went off, and as he began to preach that, he said God spoke to him and said the church is supposed to rise to a level that the world is not familiar with. And some of us picked up on that. And all of a sudden, because he was a spiritual coach at Oral Roberts University, he was inputting into these young people's lives, these youth. And there was one particular guy, if I tell you his name, you'd know who he is. But he was not a very tall guy. He was not real, real athletic. But he began to impart into him who he was in Christ. And he said, you love basketball. God has called you to play basketball. God has anointed you to play basketball. And that guy picked up on that and got that revelation. That little guy, he's about the size of Rudy. And every day, he would say, I am anointed to play basketball at a level the world is not familiar with. But he had to add something else to it. Because little Chipper, back then, he was weed-eating Rhema. You know, weed, that's what his job, he was weed-eating Rhema. And Brother Hagin went to him one afternoon and he said, listen, he said, what you're doing right now is important. But whatever you do it to the glory of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. So this guy, he would say, I am anointed of God to play basketball at a level the world is not familiar with, to the glory of God. He said that all 4 years while he was playing basketball at Oral Roberts University. And when it came NBA draft time, he got drafted by the top. He got a lot of requests, but he got drafted by, I think it was the Chicago Bulls. I mean, little guy, but he could play basketball and caught everybody's attention from little podunk school. Are you listening to me? And so I'd say that because we caught on to that and began to say, because now he had to say that every day for 4 years. I don't know what you're called to do, but what you need to do is start saying what God has called you to do, young people. Amen. You're saying, well, I don't know exactly what I'm called to do. You just say, I'm anointed by God to fulfill my destiny. And you say this, I am called by God to a level the world has not known, to the glory of God. Now here's what I'm confessing. I am anointed to preach the gospel and to build churches at a level the world is not familiar with, to the glory of God. I've been saying that every day now for a week. I've been saying it more than once a day. I'm anointed of God. Say it with me. Say, I'm anointed of God to preach the gospel, because you are too. At a level the world is not familiar with, to the glory of God. Now, I believe, now listen, I believe In our convention, it was not about really about the Holy Ghost or anything that I'm teaching you here other than that little segment I gave you. But listen to me. It began to click in me. See, we are anointed of God. And God has called us to go to another level that the world is not familiar with, because most churches, again, has eliminated the Holy Spirit from their repertoire. In other words, they have their agendas, they have their time frames, and this is what they do, and this is the way it is. But listen to me. If we eliminate, man, I'm already out of time. If we eliminate the Holy Spirit out of the church, because one of the job descriptions is to give the church power. Amen. You can write that down. I'll give you all the scripture. I'll give them to you next week. Acts 1:8. It is a job description of the Holy Spirit to give the church power. A powerless church is a wimpy church. A powerless church, because the Holy Spirit is what gives the church power to heal. Amen. Power to set free. Amen. What you have is if you do not have the power in the church, you will have a church full of people, maybe, but you will not have a church full of truly saved people. Amen. Now, you know, a lot of people won't say that, but I'm telling you. And really, I didn't say that. It's a quote, again, that Brother Hagin said years ago. He was saying that there was a day coming. I got it written down here somewhere in some of my things. He said there was a day coming that, here's what he said. In the last day, there will be churches that get away from faith and power. How many know you've got to have both of those operating? Amen. Faith and power. He said they will get people saved, now listen to this, but not to true salvation. You know why? Because it will be, again, a mental thing for most people. And for most people, they're looking for a convenient salvation. Now, there is a scripture. It's in, you can write this one down too. It's in 2 Timothy 3:5, where it talks about that people will have a form, say a form of godliness, but what? They will deny the power. The Holy Ghost was given to the church so the church could operate in power. Are y'all getting this? And a church that does not allow the Holy Ghost to operate is a church that does not operate in the power of God. The gospel is, or the cross, and all these things that we preach is the power of God unto salvation. So what we'll wind up with is people that assent to salvation and believe that they are saved because they said a prayer and they attend church once in a while, but it's not in their heart. They don't worship God from their heart. Their heart is far from God. And so I close with this, because you have to understand that the Holy Spirit is what gives the church its power. Yes. Amen. To do what we do.
Yes.
So if we eliminate that power, we can't do the works that Jesus said we were to do. We'll be powerless to do them. We'll just be going through the motions of them. How many of you are tired of wasting your time?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I'm glad that we can get a word from God. I'm glad we don't have to be motivated by fear. You know, every time you turn on that TV, you know, they want to scare your children. Shut down the school, education, all this stuff, just shut it down. And just tell you that, oh, you gotta shut up and you gotta close in, you gotta isolate, and you gotta cover up, and you gotta hide out, and just let the devil and all his demons try to infect everybody. Aren't you glad we're not motivated by those things? Aren't you glad we are people of Psalms 91 that no evil shall befall us, and though 1,000 fall at our side, or 10,000, no evil, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. We say what God says, and we back it up because we are backed up by the power of God. You can have lights in this room. You can have the best equipment. You can have the best TV. You can have the best high-definition camera, internet process, and all that stuff. But all somebody has to do is flip the switch and knock it all off. Well, the Holy Ghost is the switch. The Holy Ghost is the power source. Amen. And you have to see it in a reality, see, that I don't know if any of you lift weights. Some of y'all lift weights, right? But how many know there's a difference between, yeah, going up there, brother, there's a difference between powerlifting and bodybuilding. Did y'all know that difference? I mean, I lift a few weights just to keep everything from sagging and gravity taking over. But I do not lift weights to powerlift. You put on my chest, 500 pounds, it'd crush me. You got to work your way up to get to that level. There it is again. Level. Say level. And see, if you don't learn how to utilize the power, then you remember that guy named Barney Fife? That's what you'll look like in the spirit. Some of the older ones, you know, oh, Barney Fife, I remember him. Some of you young ones, Barney Fife. How many of you young people know Barney Fife? Look at this. Give me some example of Barney Fife, somebody that they can relate to. Who? Who? Pee Wee Herman? Yeah, okay. Pee Wee Herman. I want to relate to you guys, okay? Barney Fife was the deputy to Sheriff Andy Griffith. So we'll use Pee Wee Herman. Without the power of God, the church will be a Pee Wee Herman church. Tiptoe through the tulips. I know that one. That's probably older than they know, too. He's old, too. That's a long time ago. But y'all get the picture, don't you? We have to learn to operate and to utilize the power of God. Amen. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive, come on somebody, say power, say power, say power, say power. Stand up on your feet, say I'm anointed to preach the gospel, to build my church at a level the world is not familiar with. To the glory of God. Now listen, you can say it like this, Richard. I'm anointed to build the business of Orbit Broadband to a level the world is not familiar with. To the glory of God. And all the other bit, you got a business. What has God called you to do? Young people, what's in your heart? See, what is a vision? A vision is nothing more than the Holy Spirit revealing to you the plan of God.